Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Teron, I promise you I will not bring up the New York Mets, except for this time right now.
Listen, that's fine. I'm not fair weather. I love through the good and the bad. You know, back in 1983, I made a pact. I made a vow to love the New York Mets for better or for worse. And it's been a lot of for worse, but it's all good.
Willie, any thoughts?
Well, you know, David brought up the airbender earlier today, and it just stung. It was like a dart. Hit me right in the rib cage.
Yeah,
after they finally had a chance to win one in the airbender. Save opportunities have been meager. The Mets have lost, by the way, 11 in a row. So times are not good for those who have not been following here. But the season is young. Maybe we're getting it all out of our system here.
You hope.
Well, Teron, that's not why we brought you on, but I just had to mention it because
keep believing. Keep believing, TD.
Keep hope alive.
We're going to come out of this.
You got to believe.
Got to believe.
All right, Teron, before we get to the draft, I do want to ask you about another Titans bit of news that came out over the weekend. The team picking up Peter Skoronski's fifth-year option. I was surprised, maybe not so much surprised, to discover that Skoronski is the first Titans player to have his fifth-year option picked up since Jeffrey Simmons in 2019, mm-hmm. which is, not so good. But what can you tell us about how those contract negotiations are going for a long-term contract, and do you expect Skoronski to receive a market-setting contract for his position?
I think he will eventually receive a market-setting contract, but typically the Titans, you know, if a deal's not done by now, it's not going to get done for the year. So I would imagine that's going to be something that they go ahead and get done and get the extension done before April of next year. That's probably the way it'll go. Obviously, Skoronski is someone that throughout the building has been earmarked as one of the guys that's a cornerstone for them. He's a guy you never have any off-the-field trouble. He pretty, for the most part, always says the right thing. He's always willing to talk. And, I'm going to take opportunity to shout him out because, you know, the way things were working as far as us getting into the locker room after games, a lot of the guys would be gone. But PK, he had a conversation with Skoronski, and Skoronski was willing to hang around. You know, there were times where we came in from the press conference for Mike McCoy, and he was just standing there, packed up, ready to go, but waiting for us. So it's just an example of just the way he does pretty much everything the right way, and he's well-deserving of the fifth-year option as well as an extension coming.
Teron, at this time of the year, you have to be skeptical about everything you hear, but there appears to be some momentum building toward this idea that the Arizona Cardinals could draft Jeremiah Love at number 3 overall. If that were to happen, would it be as simple as the Titans taking one of the edge rushers, or do you think that would make it more likely that they trade back?
I think in that situation, I think they go a Verrill Reese or David Bailey. Like, if David Bailey's on the board when they pick, that's the pick, right? But, I mean, looks more and more like he's going to the Jets. So that being said, you know, I could see them making something happen with Reese. I mean, you look at Will McDonald IV with Robert Saleh with the Jets. I mean, that's a guy that's very similar in size, and as far as like trying to figure out what he could do, the athleticism, you know, this guy was jumping over daggone trucks, literally a SUV, you know, as part of his pre-draft video stuff. But I mean, look, Reese will probably be the pick, followed by Sonny Styles. But they said 100%. You know, they're open. They're open for business. So that is something. If they could get one of these teams that wants to move up and grab a player, they would more than likely be very willing to pick up another first round pick.
Now, Teron, the biggest thing that happened this weekend, obviously, or one of them, is the trade of Dexter Lawrence. And how do you think by the Giants trading away Dexter Lawrence, getting an extra pick in the first round in the top 10, does that change anything for the Tennessee Titans or any other team? And what does that suggest? Because we had this conversation, but what does that suggest about this year's draft?
Yeah, I think it suggests that really, I think that's more on the Giants and being at an impasse with Dexter Lawrence and trying to figure it out. But, I mean, look, the Bengals gave up the 10th overall pick for Dexter Lawrence. You don't see those types of trades happen too much where it's just a player for a pick that's as high as that pick. Usually it's something going back like pick 37 or something else, you know, along with it. But here it is. This is what the Giants were able to get. I don't think it says as much about the draft class as it does about the Giants and their situation, honestly. And I think when you look at it, the Giants could come back and you know, get a guy like a Peter Woods who's very similar out of Clemson, very similar. Actually, he told me that Jeffrey Simmons is a guy that he patterns his game after. So we know that Denard Wilson was able to do some really nice things with Jeffrey Simmons, so I'm sure Woods would be a guy they're interested in. So I think it just says more about, you know, the Giants situation than anything else.
Now, based upon what they've done free agency-wise, meaning the Titans, do you think they go heavy one side or the other? Because it seems like even with the fourth pick, they are flexible to do whatever because they did address the defense and they felt they bolstered up the defense. But do you see them going heavy one side or the other, or can you see that?
You know, this is the thing that's really interesting to me with how this draft works. Everybody's like, hey, man, get a receiver. But the way the top end of this draft works, you wouldn't really pick one of these guys at 4. But if you could trade down to 12, you know, now, as Mike Borgonzi said, they're not worried about Jordan Tyson's medicals. Those hamstrings are all right to them. So there's a guy at if they trade down at 12, you know, obviously Carnell Tate, if they move down, like maybe with Kansas City or somebody like that. But I say all that to say, I don't know that they go heavy on one side or the other, because the receiver group specifically is if you get past like pick 66, maybe Ted Hurst out of Georgia State. But outside of that, you're just drafting pretty much more of what you already have. So it's almost like a washed draft pick, because you already have a bunch of guys who are, you know, not number ones, but they're solid players, and that's typically what you get later in the draft. So it's just, I wouldn't go receiver there, but you could possibly, you know, offensive line, I think, interior, that's an area. So to make a long story longer, I'm just going to say it's going to be balanced, in my opinion, because just the way that this class seems to fall out.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, I want to take it a little bit further, what you were describing earlier. We hear a lot about Sonny Styles being a great fit for the scheme for Robert Saleh. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, if something crazy happens and Arvell Reese is sitting there at 4, how would you compare Arvell Reese and his fit? I hear this a lot about Arvell Reese. He's off the charts athletically. He's an incredible talent. But you have to have a plan for how to utilize him because of his unique skill set. So how would that fit in Saleh's defense in your mind?
Well, I think you can have a plan to utilize him. And the thing that I like and what was just kind of tucked away in Borgonzi's press conference is he told you, right? He said, because I asked him, I said, well, you know, when you get a player like this and you haven't seen him consistently rush the passer, like, how do you project him? And he said, well, first, he's the most explosive player he's seen. Second, he said that he's definitely shown signs of being able to rush the passer. But most importantly, to answer your question, he said he's one of those guys that early on you could do a lot with. You could have him play that spinner or joker type of position. So that kind of tells you right there what they're going to do. And the thing that's pretty sweet with a guy like Avril Reese is, look, you draft him or you project him to be a really good pass rusher, but guess what? Worst case scenario, he's a pretty solid, an outstanding off-ball linebacker. Because, I mean, if you just evaluate him on off-ball backer at Ohio State, pretty darn good player. So I think that's a pick that I would be very comfortable with turning in and saying I'm going to have this guy be my number one pick in this draft class.
So do you think what's the gap between Reese and Stiles in your mind? Because there are some people that are just all in on Sonny Stiles. I heard Daniel Jeremiah say he's this third best prospect, even though he's the, quote, off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, well, I think it's hard to say, like, what the gap would be. I think the gap is the guy, one's a pass rusher and one is, you know, a middle linebacker. I think that's really what the gap is because – look, we've talked about Sonny Stiles. You know what he brings to that defense, and especially this defense. And I think that's something that, you know, is kind of getting swept under the rug. Yeah, middle linebacker is not a premium position across the league, but here it is, right? And even though Robert Saleh has shown that he could – actually, none of the guys he's done really good things with was a first-round pick, you know, outside of C.J. Mosley, who was a first-round pick by the Ravens, and they signed him, you know, so – I think he's shown that he could go ahead and get production out of linebackers, you know, later in the draft. But, I mean, it is a premium position in this defense.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Monday, and he is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Teron, I know this is a busy week for you. Enjoy the NFL draft this weekend. Also, we'll be thinking of you and your Mets.
No, you know, won't. He's not going to be thinking about the Mets, Ron. He's just trying to say that. He's trying to twist the knife.
I know how people are. I'm going to find something you like, Adam. I'm going to find something, and I'm going to get you with it. Just give me next week. Next Monday, we're going to be talking, and I'm going to get you. It's okay. Kick a guy when he's
Duke.
Down. Go ahead. Add a little salt to this injury that's on here. It's okay.
I only do it out of love, Teron. It's all out of love, my friend. We appreciate you.
You got it, man. Take it easy.
615-737-1025. I was also just trying to needle Willie through Teron. It was sort of an indirect needling.
Yeah, I got a lot of needling. I got one the other day from a friend who happens to be a Cubs fan. He just asked, "Hey, Willie, I just had a question, you know, not really pertaining to any team in particular, but do you think it's easier to win 10 games in a row or lose 10 games in a row?" I was like, Cub fan, Cubs just beat the Mets, handed the Mets the 10th straight. Just jabbing, just twisting.
It's only April. It's only April.
It's only April.
That
it's
could be a good April. And a bad thing, depending on how you're looking at it.
What do NFL teams say? You can't win the Super Bowl in October,
but you can lose it.
Yeah. You can't win the World Series in April, but 615-737-1025 will react to what Teron had to say. I also do want to get Willie's thoughts on something he saw over the weekend. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.